dad's side, there's my family history. My dad is Jewish, and my family history, you can follow it back until about the 40s. And so my family is Jewish and in Europe in the 40s. And you can follow the history back up until then. And then I don't know what happened. I mean, they must have just been bad record keepers or something. There's no history after that. So that's a weird, you know, idiots. I had some jokes about Israel Palestine, but then I remembered that this is like a recorded thing, and I decided not to go out and say them, because as much as I disagree with like a lot of Israel's policies, I still qualify for like a birthright tour that I might want to take someday, and I don't want to be like at the West Bank and then they go, "What's this podcast from Mutiny Radio?" They're like, "Israel's not so great." But I'm Jewish, so I love Israel, guys, just for the record. yeah, I think that's all I got for today, but thanks a lot, guys, for indulging.
Yay! Lovey. I have a question up front. Was that a thinly veiled Holocaust joke about the history not going back past the 40s in Europe?
Yeah.
I got
a bit stuck up on it, but it's true. Like on my dad's side of the family, you can follow our family lineage back to the 40s, and then the Nazis just destroyed all history of people.
Right. I assumed that it was a Holocaust.
Yeah.
Joke.
I don't know if that's stuff. I usually don't like talking, making, you know, this might seem weird, but I usually don't like talking about the Holocaust. So.
I was gonna say about that one. You could easily flip it on its head, like millions of families disappeared during that period of time, but mine appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
If you could somehow turn it into a slam on the Nazis, I think you could make it work.
I'm really aiming to slam the Jews, though. that's what I'm going for. No. But
perpetuate that self-hating stereotype.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if that's funny or if I should just leave, if there's an idea there or not.
I think there's an idea there. I thought it was funny. And I thought it was funny because you were circling around it and you never, it was like an oblique hit. It wasn't like, here's the joke. It was like you sort of like skimmed off the side of it. And I was like, oh, okay. Are you under 24?
I'm 23.
Because you know you can only claim birthright till you're 24. So you better.
25.
Oh, it's 25 now. Yeah. They switched it. Well, there you go. So get on it.
Yeah.
If you want to go to Israel for free.
I like that you're doing like personal, real stuff as opposed to the stuff you were making up before. It's great.
I like making up stuff, though.
Fine, make stuff up. But I'm encouraging.
No, okay, no. Thanks. That's a good note.
With that beard, you kind of look like an old Civil War Confederate fighter, maybe.
Okay. Good. Or every tech piece of shit in the city, right?
Well, they must. Maybe all tech guys are just Civil War enthusiasts.
It's true.
I don't know.
This guy who just got married is a Civil War reenactor, so that I know. So I've been to many a reenactment.
Hey, man, I love my flannel. I'm not a tech piece of shit.
Okay.
Hey, Stefan, that microphone has a bad XLR, so like keep it in the stand because it keeps going in and out, just so you know. All right. Any more comments for Ian?
Yeah.
You got to get to a microphone.
It was about the South. Watch your audience.
In what way?
In a black and white way and in a north and south way.
But that, I mean, that all really happened. There's, you know, the South did secede.
Yeah,
from the
and
Civil
that's
War.
Why there's racism.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that joke in any way implies any form of racism.
No, but I felt offended that you were on the wrong side for me.
But my family was. They were all on the side. Like, I don't agree with them. I'm not saying, you know.
I've seen your Confederate flag tattoo. Don't lie to us.
I'm not saying.
Show everybody your ass.
Again, and I don't call it, like, the war,
know,
Northern
but,
aggression or anything.
But it's a hot button for us.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, 2012, 13, 14, they're just taking that flag down, which means nothing actually on you know, the principles of
But I think that I disagree with you, because I think him telling that joke opens up the dialogue, and that's what we need to start doing, especially through comedy, is that racism is a problem. And the only way to address it is really to bring it to the forefront with comedy. And we know that he's joking because he's standing up on stage saying he's comedian.
Yeah,
it's true. His family really does come from the Confederacy.
Yeah,
so that's,
I can see that too, Pam. I see that.
I mean,
but here's the question. After your set, are you open enough to speak with someone privately about this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I tell my opinion. I think apartheid is the only solution to No.
But nobody's. He's being funny about it.
I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I have white people in my. Couple of white people are my best friends, you know.
we're all trying not to be racist here. Everybody clap wildly for
Thank
Ian
you.
Levy. Yay. All right, your next comedian is another funny Jew. Just kidding. I think the only way. Did you ever take your birthright? Probably not.
Oh, I did something
different. Oh,
right on. Confirmation trips.
Ah.
Yeah, I had to pay for it.
Oh, wow. There you go. You had to pay for it. Well, we could make jokes about that, too. Hey, everybody. Put your hands together for your next comedian, the very funny Stephanie Silverman.
Thank you. I did. I did a birthright for 16-year-olds, which was really, really, really fun. Let's see. I don't know what's going on with me. I am changing. I have a motorcycle. I've ridden a motorcycle, but then it was too big and clunky, so I got myself a scooter. That scooter got crunched by a van, and now I'm riding around on a scoot.
Oh.
I just keep going lower and lower on the spectrum of shame. Like, you guys know these scoot things that they're like electric, like you don't need a motorcycle license. It's like Zipcar for people that don't actually want to zip. They want to scoot, which is like, when I think of scooting, it's like this defines scooting. I think of a dog that's wiping its ass on the carpet and it's scooting. And this is what you do on a scoot. And it's like, you just go and you pick it up and it's got two helmets already in it. So you can choose like whether you want scabies or lice, or you just want to be grossed out. And you know, it's like, I am not OCD. I do not have OCDs. I am just germ phobic. And like, this is a real health hazard. And I emailed them. I'm like, how do you guys clean these helmets? You know, what do you got, like sanitizer in there? Disposable helmet liners? What? And they're like, the mechanic thoroughly goes over the scoot every 2 weeks. I'm like, and then I wrote, this is not enough. Like, are you flea bombing these things? Like, I work in a profession that it requires cleanliness. And I understand. This and they're like, well, if you have any problems with your scoot, let us know. So like, I've been carrying around a little spray bottle of alcohol with me, and I just spray it and I kind of air it out, and then I just like put it on because it is disgusting. But like, I just worry about like how low on the shame spectrum I'm going. Like, what is next for me? So I'm on this scoot, which is like a dog butt. Am I gonna be on a fixie next? Like carrying a yoga mat, like on my way to Dolores Park for yoga class for like Jello shots that are in orange peels. Like I don't know what's next. I feel so, like, you know, and then there's mason jars everywhere. It's humiliating. Like the other night I was on this scoot and I was like going to drop it off across town because that was kind of convenient actually. So I'm at a stop sign and this guy's like, hey, scooting hard. And I look at him and I go, this thing is a piece of shit. And he laughed heartily because he wasn't expecting that kind of response. So now I'm looking for him on Misconnections. That guy, wow. I didn't expect him to laugh. He's my audience. let's see. My mom, she loves me. She sees me through rose-colored glasses. She's like, Stephanie, you should be a model. And I'm like, Mom, that's ridiculous. Models are beautiful, and they're skinny. That's like the thing that models have. And she's like, no. You do not have to be obese to be a plus-size model. It sounds terrible, but it's actually quite reasonable. It's actually, I mean, because I'm actually plus size. I am a plus size person. I wear like a size 8 or size 10. That is plus size. Fuck it, who gives a shit? I like my body and I'm not overweight. I don't care what you call it. Like, it's better than calling it like lumpy size or like fat size. They could call it fat size. It's just plus. It's just bigger than like a size 6. Like, why do we even give a shit about this stuff? I don't understand. Like, because you know what? You can be fat at any size, right? You could be a size 3, and then if you're like 4'8", like, you're huge. Let's see. I've got a joke about cum towels that I'm working on. I'm going to try to work that out a little bit. Yeah, you know, I've got original material. No one else is doing jokes about cum towels. I set this up. I made this problem myself. When I was single, like, I was like, really prepared for, like, sex dates. I was a really good sex hostess. I had lube. I had clean towels right by the bed. You come over to my house. You come. I got a towel for you. One-time use. Goes into the laundry. That's it. Your towel. It's fresh and clean. And so I had collected all these towels, like, for boutique workouts, usually. Either I had bought or stolen them from gyms. And then when I moved in with my boyfriend, I continued this habit of having clean towels by the bed because that's just what I did. And his habit is to take one of these towels that I have bought for or stolen from a gym, use it once, and then stuff it back in the drawer. Okay. Oh. Which leads to, and sometimes he would hand this towel to me to wipe up with. And I'm like, no, we can't do this. Like, you cannot reuse a cum towel. Because, like, I bought him, like, 24 fresh white washcloths. Because one, like, I'll tell you what instigated this is one day I was going to one of these boutique workouts with my friend Brittany, right? Because that's who you go to a boutique workout with, is someone named Brittany. That's the only person that will go. Like, we put on our Lululemon outfits and we, like, go to the marina with our, you know, we're going to go to a spinning class. And, like, I pull out my towel and she's like, oh my God, you didn't tell me we needed towels. To bring our own towels to this workout. And I was like, well, I would give you mine, but I do not want you to get pregnant. So, all right, that's what I got. What do you guys think?
Stephanie Silverman, comments.
So I like fat at any size. Do you know, there's this, like, the fat acceptance movement that's, like, healthy at any weight. I think you could do a play on that that's, like, ugly at any size kind of thing, like, fat at any size. I think, like, that would be a good, but, like, also bring up that movement because I don't think people are going to know it.
Okay, because I like that movement because, like, one of the things that they do is that they say, like, they're fat. Like, it's just a thing. It's just a word. It's an actual, like, you have too much fat, then you're fat. Okay, anyway.
This is so
ugly at any size, okay.
This is so silly, but I heard the cum towels. It's just, I've heard it before, and I love it when you slow it down. Yeah. Like, it's just one okay. suggestion. When you lay into every little thing about it, it's really great.
Okay, thank you.
Just the word cum. C-O-M-E. And I'm saying, you know, you got two words that sound like. I've been avoiding using those words. Like, I sent Pam a message, and I was writing, Pam, do you mind if I come? It's like,
arrive.
I had to think of some other word. So maybe you could, I don't know,
What do you call your cum towels?
Oh, yeah.
You're not just the word.
T-shirts.
C-O-M-E.
I call my cum towels T-shirts and sometimes socks. Sometimes I call them
dirty
socks.
Underpants, yeah.
Sometimes I call them dirty underpants.
Only suggestion, the whole thing I thought was great. When you're talking about the scoot, you're slowly degrading from the motorcycle to the scooter, then to the scoot. And then you're talking about riding a fixie and carrying all this shit. And you only mentioned the fixie once. It doesn't make sense because you can't carry shit on a fixie. And then I just had this hilarious vision of my brain of you on one of those hoverboards carrying Jello shots.
Oh, a hoverboard. That's
yeah, great. I think the hoverboard might work.
Maybe hoverboard.
Because it's arm-free. You can actually carry the stuff that you're talking about.
No, that's better because I think fixies aren't as douchey as they were.
They don't have brakes. They don't do that weird thing. There's no way. Yeah, fixie requires stuff going on. There's no brakes on those things.
But don't they have baskets? Don't people like put
on
like,
the?
There's like a weird. What kind of? It's like a brake.
It just got one.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not carrying Jello shots on fixie though.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could also make fun of electronic skateboards because those guys are fucked hard.
That's good.
That's a hoverboard, electronic skateboard thing.
Are they? Well, no, the hoverboards are two wheels that are next to each other that for some reason there's more African Americans than have them than I don't know why. I just see them. Like weird white Jew guys ride the one wheel. You know, it's like there's a wheel, big wheel, and then the black people are using the two wheels that are lower and they do that thing. And then the skateboard is $1,500. And that's what all the new cod pieces are using
And the hoverboards catch fire too.
Yeah.
There's like houses that burn down. Do
they just spontaneously combust?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Google hoverboard fires. Yeah. They might be fixing it
now. Buy one for
your
enemy, just like.
Yeah. It's still. I mean, it's like the last time I heard about it was a couple weeks ago. So yeah, it's still pretty relevant. Okay.
So like a hoverboard goes below scoot.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
Like I should be so ashamed.
I really want
unicycles
one.
At the very bottom. I think unicycycles and really mimes bad. Are at the bottom of the pile.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Anything else? You guys are helpful. All right. Thank you.
Yay, Stephanie! Yay. All righty, moving right along here on the Joke Workshop here on Mutiny Radio. FM. Your next comedian, really great guy, super helpful here around the station, and just a really nice fellow also, bringing you new jokes, being a funny guy. Put your hands together. It's George Davis! Yay!
Hello. Let's make this quick. All right. Sad thing, right? David Bowie died, Prince died. It's always very sad when people that we love die, right? Thing is, I was thinking, like, God or whoever is on, like, his fucking pedo-pedo fucking roll call or something. Like, they're getting all the pedophiles off the streets. You know what I mean? Like, right? Remember David Bowie? You can't tell me that dude didn't fuck little kids, right? Or at least, like, all right, not little kids, but at least somebody under 16. That dude fucked everybody under 16. And Prince, don't tell me he didn't fuck a chick under 16. Now, here's the question, right? Do you still dig the people that you don't dig because they grow across your morals, right? Right? Like, unless, like, you're down with fucking a 16-year-old. Great question. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Soft and wet. All right, there you go. All right.
Check one.
Oh, yeah. This, all right. Man, I forget all kinds of crap. Anyway.
Check one.
Dumb story. So I used to work at the Tenderloin Housing Clinic. All right. And the Tenderloin Housing Clinic, if you don't know, is where they take the homeless from the streets and they put them in homes in this area, okay? And the people who live there are filled with, like, crack addicts and, like, just addicts, just regular people and shit, right? What I would consider. And, I get all these people. I'd sit at this desk all night, and like, cause I used to work the midnight to 8, which was always a fun shift. If you're ever gonna work a shift like filled with crackheads, work midnight to 8 because that's always a good shift. And I was sitting there one night, and all of a sudden, because all the time you'd hear these people pull the fucking fire alarms. And there's never a fire. Nobody ever sets a fire. There's never a fire. It's just somebody on one who's feeling it, and then they pull the fucking fire alarm. So one day, that damn alarm goes off, and I go running up 6 floors because I'm at the Heartland Hotel. If you've ever seen the hotel downtown, there's a beautiful sign that says Heartland Hotel off Geary Street. And I'd go down there, and I'd work there. And one day at like 3 in the morning, that fucking alarm goes off, and I know there's no fire, so I go running up these 5 flights of stairs, and I go checking out all these people. And I get up to floor 5, and all of a sudden, I see water. And you don't expect in a fire situation to see a hell of a lot of water everywhere. And there's water coming around. So I go around and I go around and I go around. I go to this woman's room. So I go to this woman's room and I peek through her door and I look in. And she's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I go looking, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, there's water up to like the bottom of that chair. Okay, all right. And at the bottom of the water, there's like a whole bunch of water, and I'm like, holy shit, there's a whole shit ton of water, and she burst a pipe being on one, fucking around with her pipe. She broke it. She broke a pipe in the middle of the night. So I go running downstairs with nobody to do anything with, because I'm a temp on a temp job in the middle of fucking nowhere. And suddenly, there's just, I
one quick thing. There's, if any building that you live in, all your bathrooms are kind of in a row. Any apartment you live in, they're all in a row because they don't want their water to fuck up. So the water is coming down over our little bathroom that we use for our dumbasses. And I look in the far distance and suddenly there's just water flowing down the back wall like The Shining. And it's just garbage water flowing down. And suddenly, like, you know, I resolve it, but I know I'm out of time and I don't want to overrun my time. So anyway, take care, guys.
George Davis! Stay up there for comments and stuff. Stay up there for comments and stuff.
The water bit, you told the intro to it like three times. Like, you told it, like, you said, like, I work at this place, and then there was this thing, and then I ran up these stairs, and then, like, you started over, like, a different way telling it. Like, you told the intro to the bit, like, two or three times.
Yeah.
So you could shorten that by, like, like two-thirds. Yeah. Like, you just...
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Divorcee.
That was a really good introduction, Annette.
Thank you. Do you think I'm getting better?
You're getting better. I mean, we have like a year worth of practice.
Dude, it's been over a year.
We have like over a year worth of practice.
So this is the fourth episode of the second season.
Is it? I thought it was a third.
You know, I... don't pretend that I know how to count.
Wait.
What?
You're right. I forgot. For some reason, I keep thinking that we've only done one, and I keep going back to...
to just that one?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the first episode of season two of Ask a Divorcee.
Are you living in the movie Groundhog's Day?
With Paola and Annette. That was my introduction. It was so original.
It is. I mean, I haven't heard many other podcasts that start that way.
I know, me neither.
I don't actually know of a single other podcast that has a Paola and Annette.
So, you know that podcast that you told me about called My Favorite Murder?
Yes.
I've been listening to it a lot. And they have a really similar format in that they banter for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then the two hostesses...
for an hour. They do banter quite a lot.
They do banter a lot. I'm like, where is the murder?
That's the thing is...
I want to hear about the murder.
That's why we're a better podcast and obviously more popular is because we don't tease people with murder. We don't ever pretend that we're going to do anything but banter. We'll answer a question, but let's be real. That's just a segue into more banter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
What?
I could like... Oh, now I can hear myself. But like only if I plug the headphones into the headphone jack like part of the way.
Yeah, I think something's fucked with these headphones. I assume we're being recorded, but if not, then it's time to get real.
You'd think that I would know anything about this after doing this podcast for a year.
I wouldn't think you know anything about it.
Okay.
But it's okay. Don't worry your pretty little head with all these dials and buttons.
Yeah, these are hard. Like, I only know about keys with letters on them.
Mm-hmm. And these are not.
No, they have colors and numbers.
And dials, and they're analog. I mean, it's insane. The fact that we're in an analog studio in 2017.
I should write a poem about it.
Whoa, are you getting into poetry? You doing poetry these days?
Do you know that people still write poetry?
Oh, I've written poetry.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Like romantic poetry?
Oh, yeah.
About what?
Mostly Bay's dick.
Bay's dick.
Keeping it romantic.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean...
Can you hear yourself?
No, not at all. But I think we're getting recorded.
Okay. So just so our readers know, we wear headphones in the studio, but...
Today they're not working.
Them.
We're not really sure what's going on.
No.
But you know, we don't need to be sure what's going on.
Maybe the guy that comes and records before us is worse than the other guy that came and recorded before us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is a low-budget studio, but are you writing poetry these days, you said?
No. But I like to think about the people that do write poetry.
Oh, many people do. Did you write poetry as a teenager at all?
Uh, I recited poetry. There's a famous Nicaraguan poet called Ruben Darío. And I learned one of his poems, and I memorized it, and then I recited it in one of the school, like, you know, the school events where people do, like, creative things on stage. Yeah.
What was the poem about?
It was about a pretty girl, and her name was Margarita, and he's basically telling her, the sea is really beautiful, and you can catch any star in the sky that you want to, and you should just go and catch the stars that you want to catch.
Is the star a metaphor for his dick?
I don't know why I laughed at that. That's not funny. I mean,
fuck you and your joke, Annette. That's not funny. Sorry that I gave you a pity laugh. It was more of like a societal obligation laugh.
Well, you know how people sometimes laugh because they're surprised at what you say, which is basically the definition of a punchline in a joke.
Yes. Yes.
People like laugh out of nervousness.
I mean, ideally, yes.
And that's basically what I just did. Like, I was just like, yeah.
Wait, so, but what are the stars supposed to be? Are they supposed to be like dreams?
I don't know, but what if similar to the My Favorite Murder podcast, we, instead of reading murder stories and researching them, because that takes way too much time, we read one poem and interpreted it.
That sounds like my version of hell.
Okay. I'm an idea person.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as a pioneer. You know what? And I just throw ideas out there and see where they land.
I'm down to try it.
We could do it for one episode.
Let's do it for next episode. We'll both bring a poem.
Okay, what if we both do a poem about murder?
Whoa. Dude, I mean, like, I only got so much time in a week. How many poems are about murder?
Is that too copycat? Okay, just find, you know, I'm gonna do this poem that I just made a reference
to. I could do a poem right now.
Okay.
It's not about murder, though.
That's okay. Do a poem.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I will arise and go now, and go to an ish free. Fuck. Wait.
Is that what the poem
Wait,
says?
No. I will arise and go now, and go to an ish free. God damn it. Oh, I was about to be so cultured, yo.
I love it. I love this poem. I love it. There's so many fucks in there.
God fucking Christ. Go to Innis Free.
It's like religious.
Nine too. Bean rows will I have there, and a hive for the honeybee, and I will live alone in the bee loud glade, and I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping low, dropping from the veils of morning to where the linnets sing. There midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. Okay, so this is not accurate 100%. I will arise and go there, for night and day I hear lake water lapping in low sounds by the shore. While I stand on the roadway or on the pavement gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. Some of that was accurate. I really fucked that shit up, though. I was about to be so impressed with myself for remembering an entire Yeats poem.
Who's Yeats?
Yeats was one of the four Irish Nobel Literature Prize winners.
Oh.
He was a playwright, writer, poet from the beginning of the last century. Very big figure in the Irish independence movement. Well, I mean, okay, not like politically, but he supported it.
Okay.
Yeah, and he won a Nobel Literature Prize. He wrote a bunch of poems, mostly, is what he got real famous for.
Awesome.
And that poem, Innisfree, is about, there's this little island off the west coast of Ireland called Innisfree. And the idea is he's writing it in London while in this drab, gray city. And he's dreaming about being back in this bucolic, beautiful country setting and being alone and wishing for that solitude and that natural beauty.
I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want some solitude, and I want to be alone with my thoughts in the wilderness. Like, I want to go on solo hikes.
Dude, solo hikes are dope, but don't get murdered.
But I'm afraid I'm going to get murdered.
So what I used to do when I went on long solo hikes is I wore really brightly patterned tights. So that way, because there's barely anywhere you can go in California where when you solo hike, you're not going to run into people at least every half hour, every hour or so.
That's true, especially here on the coast.
Yeah. So if you wear Bartley pattern tights.
Oh my God, that kid just.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm going to make sure the door's locked.
It is. That was so
Oh my God. So we record in a studio in the heart of the Mission District of San Francisco. And we just looked out of our windows, see the pale, wide-eyed face of a child staring into the studio in what I would call a ghostly way.
Yeah, that was creepy.
You describe it, because it actually happened to my back, so I just saw your face freeze with fear. And then I turned around and see this goddamn demon child.
And you immediately got up from your seat.
Holy
shit. And
went
to check that the door was locked.
Yeah, I wanted, well, also to find weapons. I will murder ghost children. I don't have a problem.
It was creepy because I think that the kid is probably like 6 years old or something like that. So like, I just saw this head at a height that's not an adult height, you know? So it just kind of looked like a floating head. And I was like speechless for a little bit. I'm sure you saw my face just like go into like, what the fuck is that on the window?
Oh man, this is not our usual recording time, and apparently things are going off the rails.
Yeah, that was creepy.
So do you generally find children creepy?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
When I was young, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. when I was a child, I was creepy as fuck. Like, whenever I saw so say I was like six or something, I would see babies and like walking before they had balance. Mm-hmm. And all I'd want to do was tip them over. It'd be really funny.
I mean, it is.
So I think I'm just evil. And yeah, I crave some solitude, and I need to go in the wilderness and
think away your evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm. But before we get too sidetracked, I wanted to go back and say that I'm still really impressed by how much you regurgitated about that poem.
Thank you. Should I try another one?
You have another one? Can we finish analyzing this one?
Oh, okay,
and
right.
then we move to another one?
Yes.
Okay. You were saying about the hiking.
Hiking's great. Oh, brightly colored pants.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, this isn't actually supposed to stop you from getting murdered, but kind of. What it does is when you pass people on the trail or people pass you, mm-hmm. they remember those tights. Like, I would be out there hiking, and every time someone passed me and they went like, nice leggings, I'm like,
oh,
so that's a person who, when I go missing, is going to be able to correctly identify to the authorities when they saw me, so that my body's going to get discovered real quick.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to, because I have mostly black tights. I need to start getting some real recognizable tights.
I mean, it also helps for like if they're doing aerial searches for your body.
Mm-hmm.
Black tights are going to stick out. I mean, the way neon is.
What if the murderer is also a rapist, and then he takes up the tights, mm-hmm. and then you're not wearing the tights.
You know, I guess you got to hope for that murder and non-rapist.
But you will be found faster than if you weren't wearing the tights.
Because yeah.
There will have been some people that saw
yes,
you.
Yes, that's the important thing, is they'll be able to try. They'll be able to reduce the search area, because they'll be like, this person saw her then, this person saw her then. So we know she at least made it this far.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know.
So
solo hiking's safe. They will find your body if you do the right steps.
So at that point, why don't you just go in a treadmill that, you know, and think about the wilderness? Because you won't get murdered.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's because you're from a younger generation than me, but I need the real thing. I can't just get on a treadmill and listen to podcasts about nature.
Don't get ageist on me.
I will. Okay. I am.
You're right. We're really, really far in age.
It's a generation gap, and I appreciate the knowledge about the youth I have gained from you.
Oh, I appreciate the knowledge about the elderness that I've gained from you.
The elderly.
Cool. So I was going to say something else. I'm still really impressed at your
Thank
brain.
You. Oh.
I also love using English incorrectly.
I think you love that I can English correctly.
I said I love using English incorrectly.
Oh, me too, man. Love it.
I also like hearing. It's the first time in this season that I'm hearing your voice and my voice in the headphones,
mm-hmm.
and I'm enjoying it. It feels more real. It feels like I'm actually in a podcast.
This is the first time I have not been listening to our voices on the headphones because mine aren't working today. And so this doesn't even feel like I'm recording a podcast. I'm probably just going to say some dumb shit today that I will regret heavily.
That's awesome.
Who's ready to go?
You know, I really wanted this to be really natural and spontaneous. This conversation.
I just really wanted to put a big awkward pause in right after you said that. Like, yeah, real and spontaneous. Like, yeah.
That you I'm sure you rehearsed that.
Oh, dude, we write down every word of this podcast. We're reading a script now. We're actors.
Uh-huh, even the laughter.
My name is Linda. Annette is a character I play.
Yeah, my real name is Maria.
Maria?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because we fake this friendship for the show, but actually we don't really know each other outside of the characters we've been playing for a year.
That's true. You don't really know anything about me.
No.
I'm actually Japanese.
Maria, oh my God.
Do you think you could find a Japanese person that's named Maria? Actually, I was asking the question, I was like, that's probably not possible. But now that I've asked the question, post-question asking, I think you could.
I mean, like, what if there's like a Japanese family who were real big fans of West Side Story?
Is there a Maria in West Side Story?
I'm assuming.
There's a lot of movies I need to see. You're like, that's not a movie. Is it a movie?
It's a movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
But I assume there's a Maria. It's about a bunch of Puerto Ricans in New York.
Oh, West Side Story?
Yeah, it's about Puerto Rican gangs.
I need to see dancing. This. I love Puerto Ricans. And I love Puerto Rico.
Do you like fight dancing?
Like capoeira? That's like Brazilian.
Yeah, this is more like snapping. Like the two gangs in the street, they're going to fight. Yeah, it's 100% a musical. They're like, hey, we're the Jets.
I was just in New York.
Were you?
Yeah, I came back on Sunday. I was there from Wednesday through Sunday.
Business or pleasure?
Both. I went to a conference.
Oh, okay.
It was a data science conference, the first data science conference I've ever been to in my life.
Because
I mostly gone to either like completely just wet lab science conferences or software conferences.
Mm-hmm. Was it nerdy?
Yeah, data science is kind of a new thing. And I mean, this is definitely probably not the place to get into it. Or maybe it is.
I think our listeners want to know poetry. They want to know advice. They want to know data science.
Data science. I wonder how much data science is going on at Tinder.
Oh, hella.
Yeah. There's data science everywhere, not just at, like, universities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point on Tinder, they...
tell me about Tinder.
What is it? They so you put pictures up, and then they'll tell you which ones are most popular. I mean, actually, the line between what exactly is data science and what is just using data isn't clear. Like, does data science refer to just all applications of data? Like, if you're using empirics to inform decisions made by computers, like which picture should be the top one on your Tinder, is that data science?
Yeah. That is the sense. Like, you know how Spotify used to not have so many public playlists, and now they do?
Mm-hmm.
They made that product decision based on data science.
Mm.
And like, product decisions that's... So Slack and Spotify and then other smaller companies were at this conference. But anyway.
So data science is just kind of a new fancy term for looking at data.
Yeah, and all of the work that's happening around it, like all of the Python libraries that are being written for data science, all the analysis, machine learning, it's a up and coming field that I think it's gonna grow a lot.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I'm not against data science. I just think that often a lot of technologies and techniques that have been around for a long ass time mm-hmm. are being touted with sexy names. Like, people talk about big data when they don't really know what they mean. Mm-hmm. There's like big data. We got a lot of big data. And it's like, if it fits on one computer, like a laptop hard drive, it's not big data.
Yeah.
Data science is just using data. I mean, there are new novel applications, mm-hmm. Like machine learning. You know, it sounds a lot sexier than just doing like a most likelihood estimate. Mm-hmm. Like, technically, machine learning can even be things like regression.
Yeah, yeah. But there, it can also get really complicated, like detecting movement.
Yeah.
Or like detecting what item was picked up by a moving
subject. Oh, yeah. It gets absolutely crazy. Like, the identification of things in photos, including our faces, so the government can find us. And so we have no privacy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it encompasses a lot of things.
But you're right in that a lot of people just like to say a lot of buzzwords.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm, is the buzzwordiness of it. Like, it's a very wide field with applications that have been around for a long time, mm-hmm. but just can be more easily implemented these mm-hmm. days because of computing power. But, you know, I give side eye to when people are like, oh, we're going to do machine learning on this, and it's just a most likelihood estimate. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I guess it technically is, but it just seems like people are jacking off with buzzwords. This is the most techie we've ever gotten on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should turn this into, no, that let's not do that,
bitching about tech.
But the interesting thing about this conference was, I mean, just like some like high level things are that, one, there was only two women speakers out of like 30, and I'm like,
damn.
And I'm like, so I guess this doesn't just happen in the software world, it also happens
no.
in like the data world,
which is weird because for some reason, I don't know if it's just my experience with people who do data science, but I feel like of the people I've met who do it, a lot more are women than yeah. engineering.
But yeah, so this, and then also the conference was high level, and that I would say about 50% of the speakers were data science leaders of like a team, like a CTO or like a engineering manager, but like of a team of data scientists rather than a team of software engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the talks are about how to build an effective team of data science for the purpose of data science. And that was interesting to see. It was really similar to the way that industry built software engineering teams with like a project manager and engineers and like an engineering manager.
But it wasn't like up in the guts of the actual data munging.
Yeah. So Slack and Spotify just like presented results. Like we discovered these patterns, and based on those patterns that we discovered with this data science, we made these product decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's my world. I mean, but that was and then I went to a Broadway show. I Ooh. Saw Chicago.
Oh.
That was my first Broadway show that I've ever saw in my life.
Verdict.
I loved it.
Really?
Have you seen the movie?
I did love the movie when I was younger.
Cuz it's about okay.
Murder.
It's about murder.
Lady murder.
It's about women murdering men that getting their way.
It's about overturning the patriarchy.
And they had it coming.
They did. Very. I mean, you know, I watched that. I remember watching that movie. Did you see the movie when you were younger?
No.
Oh, really?
This is my very first time, like, experiencing this story.
Mm.
I love the costumes.
Costumes were dope.
They like wear lingerie, black lingerie.
I mean, if that could be my uniform most days,
mm-hmm.
I would be a happier and much colder person.
Yeah. And then just, New York is, it's so cool. It's so big. It's so much bigger than San Francisco. This is, I think, my fourth time traveling there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I finally, I feel like I experienced it the best this time, even though it was like really cold. I primarily rode the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only paid for a Lyft once.
Congratulations.
In all 4 days. I was like, I can really get anywhere in the city.
You really can get so many places. It's a dope ass city, man.
And I had like really happy moments in the subway and then really sad moments.
What were your sad moments? Like, do you get bummed out? Cause
I was like, I got a little sad, one night at the end of the night, I think I was just like overstimulated because I feel like this episode is just turning into me talking about my life. But also, I think my opinions about New York are really interesting.
We're offering therapy to Paola.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Maria.
Maria. Yeah, this is my real self.
Yeah.
So as a Japanese woman in New York. No, I'm just kidding. So I was basically, I went to this House of Yes. Have you been there?
Nah.
It's a club in Brooklyn, in mm-hmm. Bushwick, that has amazing reviews.
Yeah.
And they were having this like, it was a really cool, it was like futuristic event, and you were supposed to dress up in future costumes. Mm-hmm. And then and my girlfriend and I just actually had gone to Buffalo Exchange right before and happened to buy hats. So we pretended like the guy, the doorman, came to us and he was like, what's your costume, because costumes are required. And I didn't know that. I mean, we were like, oh, we're from Westworld. Even though I've never seen the show.
But it's in Western.
But I know it's Western and it takes place in the future.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's super cool venue. I was really overwhelmed.
Is it like a warehouse-y? It's like very, it seems kind of run down. It's got like a weird basement where you can buy beers.
I don't remember there being a basement, but it is a warehouse thing. And there's a stage and they have amazing dancers.
Oh, okay.
And all kind, the decorations are just insane, and they have like dancers dancing in cages and on the walls.
Is it a
and
queer
in the
club?
Roof. A what?
Is it a queer club or like a?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like a everyone club.
Okay, because last year I went to New Year's at like a weird queer club
mm-hmm. in New York,
in Bushwick,
mm-hmm.
Warehouse type place. But you know, there's probably 1,000 of those.
Yeah, like there's just so you can't go to like everywhere in New York because there's just so much.
I feel like it cuts down on the FOMO because there's so many things to do that you just accept that you cannot do them, and you just have to be happy with the one you're with.
I see that. Yeah. So on that particular day, I was trying to hang out with multiple people that I wanted to catch up with that live in New York,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the day, I felt like I didn't get enough time with everyone. And so I was sad in the subway.
Oh.
And then I just felt like unfulfilled. I think it was just being emotional, which is fair. And I was sitting there waiting for the train at like 1 a.m. And you see these people there, these homeless people. And I was just like, what if I end up, I could be that person.
Yeah.
Like, I could just get so overwhelmed with.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, everybody. Listen to The Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to The Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey.
Well, hello, boys and girls. You know what a password is. That's Mike, a secret Mike. Word that's told to use yo, in yeah. Passes one, two, one, two.
One, two. What's up, what's up? That's cool? Yeah, yeah.
So that's if you cool want either. To win, you have to yep. have lots of okay, cannabis sweet. Energy. And the slowest way I know to get it is just by using Green Army Skincare. Boy, they're just crammed full of cannabis energy. There are more cannabis energy units in one lip balm tube than you use circling the base 10 times or when you ride your bike 4 miles across the city. And it's fast acting. Why, no sooner that you apply some balm to your mouth or pain areas, you practically feel the new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Green Army Skincare is a good, wholesome product. They're made with body-nourishing cannabis and other natural ingredients. So go out there today and pick up some Green Army Skincare products from your local cannabis procurement center. Join thegreenarmy.com.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite you down to Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District in San Francisco at 806 South Van Ness. We've got great food by our kitchen counter offer, burgers, tater tots, tachos, corn dogs, all sorts of good stuff like that. They're open from opening until 11 p.m. most days of the week, except Saturday. Every Saturday night, we've got live rock and roll, some of the best local bands in San Francisco and touring acts as well. Come on down, 10 p.m., rock and roll, only night of the week. We have a $5 cover charge, always $5 for live rock and roll. We're open from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m., Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 to 2. Come on down, have some drinks with us. We've got Whiskey Wednesday, Tequila Tuesday, and we've always got the Steve McQueen special, a shot of bullet bourbon and a can of California lager for $8. Come down and enjoy our patio. It's open in the afternoon, not really in the evening, but a lot of good folks hanging out back there. Come on down, give us a shout. Drop by the bar, make some friends. Thanks, folks. Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District, San Francisco, California.
With a happy hour every Monday through Friday until 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Go to Bender's Bar. Big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh yeah, it goes down. Come smoke with your boy.
grinder. Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you. Coming at these bitches and all these snitches, hitting switches, going rags to riches. Rainbow Grocery, a worker-owned and operated food cooperative located at 1745 Folsom Street in the Mission District of San Francisco. Let's hear what locals have to say about Rainbow Grocery. Their bulk section is dope AF.
I love their variety of cheese and home decor items and this of unique items that you can't find anywhere else.
Their cheese section is insane.
I love Rainbow Grocery because it's the number one grocery store to shop at when you're having a potluck and need to fulfill everyone's dietary needs.
They don't have meat. Rainbow Grocery Cooperative, an amazing San Francisco staple since 1975. For all your space chicken, sci-fi, comedy, non-political humor needs, go to timstesseract.com. Read fiction about the future of San Francisco after the water wars of 2121 in Jane 6. Ask a Jedi for important life hacks. Eat flesh with the bear exoskeleton Contessa. And check your horror horoscope on Horoscopia. Updated every 3 parsecs. TimsTesseract.com. TimsTesseract.com.
So you want to be a comic? It's not as easy as we make it look. But that's because Mutiny Radio has 8 hours a week of open mic stage time for all your comedy workout needs. Strain those improv muscles every Sunday from 4 to 6 at Getting Sketchy with David Stolowitz. Press out those new jokes every Monday 6 to 8 on Joke Workshop with 4-minute sets and 4-minute critiques from everyone. Get positive by host Pam Benjamin. Pump those dick jokes every Thursday 7 to 9 with True Hustle Thursdays. Hashtag THC. That's hashtag THC. D. You want more open mics? Fridays 6 to 8. Happy hour with guest host and George D. Smith. Pew, pew, pew. 4 open mics every week at Mutiny Radio, brother.
Asiento. Come in after work and take a seat at Asiento, a great place to meet friends, have delicious tapas and drinks, and relax with your neighbors. Located at Bryant 21st Street in the Deep Mission, Kitty Corner Block for Mutiny Radio. Come and get a drink during the Comedy Festival and enjoy happy hour pricing all night long with your festival ticket. A great neighborhood bar. Come take a seat at Asiento.
Everybody should listen to Mutiny Radio at mutinyradio.fm. It's a great place to listen to crazy things.
Big dogs, you gotta fight niggas, you sleep outside.
Yes, it's another Thursday edition of True Hustle Thursdays. We're about to get started in about a couple minutes. Thank you all for tuning in. You're going to hear some great stuff and some really bad stuff because it's a lot of comedians doing all types of shit. But we're glad they're here doing that shit We're glad you're listening to it. At the end of the day, we all just trying to stay connected amongst that net neutrality of consciousness. Who gives a fuck about the internet? Look within your own brain. That's the original internet right there, mofos. The electricity that's going through you, that's your motherfucking heart.
Imagination.
Exactly. What is it to you if you cannot do what you imagine? That is what I say to you, sir. Let us rise. Let us vibe amongst each other's vibrational frequencies. See the rhythm of the ocean within yourself. Realize there is sodium, and that's part of your health. At the same time, it's still Thursdays. It's still True Hustle Entertainment Thursdays, y'all. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to get started very shortly.